From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on Thunder 106.1, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and 910, Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, North Dakota. While top farmer leaders and experts paint a grim picture of the farm economy in the latest congressional hearing on plummeting farm prices and income, Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall told the House Ag General Farm Commodities Subcommittee that the farm economy is not in crisis today, but one is on the horizon.
USDA projects that net cash farm income will fall by 33% in 2016 compared to 2013, and net farm income has fallen more than 55% over the same period of time. These declines are starting to have an impact on the farmer debt-to-asset ratio, and farmers' operating debt has grown from $124 billion in 2012 to more than $165 billion today.
Many farmers are drawing down their cash and equity to survive, while other farmers are failing. Duvall warned lawmakers not to mess with a farm safety net.
If I do not deliver any other message today, I want to deliver one, and that's the Farm Bureau members and the Farm Bureau appreciate your continued efforts to protect these important farm programs, especially now when they're so badly needed.
Duvall says not needed are the Waters of the U.S. rule and the new pesticide permit and spill prevention requirements, along with GMO labeling mandates that raise farming costs. Meanwhile, Duvall says passing the Trans-Pacific Partnership would be a big help for farmers. USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansen says a strong dollar and global crop surpluses will depress export values some 10.5% this year.
Facing lower expected prices for crops, we know that producers will adjust planting decisions, cut back on some inputs, rely on capital reserves, take on additional debt, renegotiate land rental arrangements, and participate in new farm bill programs. We have already seen significant changes in farmers' planting intentions, with 5 million fewer acres of wheat and almost 4 million acres of corn more than our expectation from February.
Machinery sales have lagged behind the five-year average for the last 2 years. Johansen says farmers are borrowing more, claiming more in farm payments, and relying on crop insurance. On a positive note, however, Johansen says,
we still project that the majority of farm households will see some increase in household income in 2016. Median farm household income is expected to exceed $81,000 in 2016. That's a record. Our initial projections show that median on-farm and off-farm incomes are expected to rise slightly in 2016 compared to 2015.
Now, the income increase would place the majority of farm households in a relatively stable position, according to Johansen, going into this year, but leaving others facing significant stress. Texas A&M Agriculture Extension economist Joe Outlaw calls the conditions for grain, oilseed, wheat, and cotton farms the worst he's seen since the early 90s, with prices well below the cost of production and farmers planting whatever will give them the least loss or the best yield. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you are listening to Inside Agriculture. And, of course, we mentioned before we took the break, they're going to come back and talk about Roger Johnson. Well, we won't talk about him, but he's going to talk about the farm economy. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has forecast a continued downturn in the farm economy, and many farmers and ranchers out in the country are left facing tough operating decisions. The House Ag Subcommittee on General Farm Commodities and Risk Management is taking a proactive look at these issues in light of the next Farm Bill negotiations. Ag leaders were invited to testify yesterday morning before the committee at a hearing titled Focus on the Farm Economy, Growing Farm Financial Pressure. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson was among the panel testifying on Capitol Hill.
Family farmers and ranchers throughout the country are really in a tough spot today. Commodity prices have continued to fall over the last several years. Consequently, net farm income has also dropped rather dramatically. A lot of commodity prices are half of what they were 3 years ago. So we expect to see negative scenarios playing out in the countryside. Trouble accessing credit, we'll see negative farm budgets, we're going to continue to see depressed markets. We're going to test the safety net, and we'll probably see increased demand for mediation services as farmers struggle to repay debts.
Now, a third-generation family farmer from Turtle Lake, North Dakota, and a former North Dakota Ag Commissioner, Johnson's been and has seen firsthand the importance of sound farm policy and a strong safety net. He praised USDA for their rollout and education behind the relatively complicated programs of the 2014 Farm Bill, but encouraged the committee to focus its attention on commodity programs that deserve more thoughtful attention in the next Farm Bill debate.
Overall, commodity programs are functioning as designed, and they are assisting producers with falling prices. That doesn't mean that there's an absence of flaws, both in design and execution of these programs. Take, for example, the ARC program, Agricultural Risk Coverage Program. We've seen cases in North Dakota, in Texas, Colorado, Kansas, South Dakota, where the benchmark yields and current year yields are from differing sources and aren't providing representative revenue calculations. So you see folks in one county versus adjoining counties getting dramatically different payment. We've also heard from dairy producers with concerns over the Dairy Margin Protection Program and from cotton growers who have expressed concerns over the stacks program.
National Farmers Union represents nearly 200,000 family farms, ranchers, fishermen, and rural members. While it's difficult, it's a difficult time in agriculture, Johnson did underscore a bright spot in the farm sector, organic and local foods.
Organic and local food sectors continue to grow and seem, for the most part, to be much less subject to falling prices. This committee, which made record investments through the 2014 Farm Bill, deserves credit for the current landscape in these sectors.
Concluding his statements to the committee, Johnson encouraged all parties to continue their tireless efforts on behalf of family farmers and ranchers.
The committee has a challenging task ahead, especially as it looks to crafting the next Farm Bill. Our collective challenge is to continue working to provide help when and where needed and to encourage the continued growth and success of our most vital industry, agriculture.
Turning a statement into action, NFU is conducting a survey of family farmers and ranchers to gain feedback about the 2014 Farm Bill programs, especially in the current farm economic climate.
National Farmers Union has always sought the feedback of our members on matters of farm policy. Last month, we released an online Farm Bill survey that is open to all family farmers and ranchers. We hope to gain a greater understanding of the strengths and weaknesses of these programs and identify our advocacy priorities for the next Farm Bill process.
And if you want more information about Johnson's testimony and the NFU Farm Bill Survey, visit the Farmers Union website, nfu.org. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, Chris Galen, Executive Vice President of the National Milk Producers Federation, says USDA made beneficial change to the margin protection program, and they did that this week. USDA made the improvements based off recommendations by the National Milk Producers Federation to enhance the value of the program. Now, one change announced by USDA will ensure that all farms enrolled in the MPP will receive catastrophic coverage at the basic $4 per hundred weight margin level on 90% of their production history. Now, with the ability to purchase buy-up coverage at less than 90% of their history, that according to Galen.
One of the key things here is clarifying that everyone who gets the $100 basic coverage has 90% of their milk production history insured. But the question that has loomed over the program for the year and a half that it's been in existence is if you bought additional buy-up or supplemental coverage above the $4 margin, but you only insured, say, 50% of your production or 80% or down to 20%, would you still have that catastrophic 90% coverage at the $4 margin? And USDA announced that the answer is yes, that they are going to make certain that even if you bought up coverage at a percentage of your milk production less than 90%, you're still covered at the $4 level at the full 90%.
He adds USDA also announced that they'll accommodate additional family members into the business, which means allowing for expanded milk production history. It's a one-time change that could be done between now and the end of 2018, with a maximum volume that can be added being 4 million per year into the production history. Now, this allows for continued growth of operations. Now, the next enrollment period begins July 1st. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, we mentioned before we took the break, we're going over to Minnesota. The Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council took 13 farmers on a see-for-yourself trip to Vietnam earlier this year. Now, the group went overseas to look at Research and Promotion Council investments in that country and how Minnesota is trying to grow its presence in that country. Now, one of the farmers on the trip was Minnesota Farm Bureau President Kevin Papp, who farms in Blue Earth County, Minnesota. Papp said the trip was very important as Vietnam is an emerging overseas market for American commodities, specifically soybeans.
Well, I think it's an emerging market because it's the 13th most populous country. They're increasing about one per year. They're the eighth most populous Asian country. They're the 32nd largest economy in the world. They're growing. Now they're our 11th largest export destination. You know, they're number 11 as far as the United States is concerned. And the fact that they import 70% of their livestock feed ingredients is somebody that can't raise it themselves.
He said Vietnam is potentially a big market in the years to come because they can't grow all their own food. Papp said it's obvious the Vietnamese people want to eat better food, and they're willing to pay for it.
It's exciting to know that they want better food, and they're not afraid to do that, and realizing they can't grow the crops themselves, but they certainly are acceptive of biotech. Biotech is the only way that they look at, you know, because they've got limited land, and this biotech is going to allow them to grow more per acre, you know, so certainly they see those advantages of biotech.
Ben Storms, a farmer from Dover, Minnesota, who was also on that trip, the first thing that jumped out at him was how far Vietnam had come in terms of modernizing their production facilities. He said it was a unique opportunity to talk to actual customers who buy the products American farmers produce.
The feed mill buys, I do believe, corn, and they also buy soybean meal. Also, we went to a Bunge soybean crushing plant, and they actually said they prefer U.S. soybeans to South American soybeans because they're easier to process.
The United Soybean Board recently commissioned a study at Texas A&M University to determine the economic impact of these trips and the bottom line for soybean producers. The last study said every $1 of checkoff money spent, it returned $7 to the American producer's bottom line. Kim Nill is the market director of market development for the Minnesota soybean growers. He said a trip like this is also a unique opportunity for farmers to meet face-to-face with overseas customers.
When we had these meetings with the various individuals in Vietnam, you know, the 13 asked very probing questions along the line of, okay, Mr. Feed Mill Operator, you know, as a result, we've heard what, you know, the U.S. Soybean Export Council did for you 3 years ago to help, you know, get your feed mill built or up and operating or worked out some kinks you had in it, thereby doubled its capacity. Has that made you more likely to purchase soy from the United States? They'd hear the response of that feed mill owner or swine farm owner or whatever.
He said the answer was always an enthusiastic yes. All 13 farmers came back and expressed satisfaction on how their checkoff dollars were being spent. So a see-for-yourself tour from 13 farmers from Minnesota. Well, that's a look at what's going on inside agriculture on this Friday. We'll catch you again next Monday. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.